Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 171 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, and I am here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. I'm just here rocking an imaginary baby, so this will be fun.
That sounds super creepy. We better.
It does. It sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it?
We better tell people what the heck we're talking about. So today's topic is a really fun one. We realize that there are these weird habits that when you're a mom, especially if you're a mom whose kids are getting a little older and you have graduated from the intense baby years, there's like these lingering habits you just can't shake. I described them as phantom limb sensations.
Yes. Being a mom is like, it is like a muscle. It rewires your brain.
Yes.
It almost like creates a new muscle group or something.
Yes.
That does all of these things that before you were a mom, you never ever thought to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess we should even back up and say that when you first become a mom, there is some of the retraining that has to happen from your old life. In our mom fail episode, I told that story about how I walked a stroller out in the middle of a busy road because I forgot that I had a baby and a stroller and I couldn't just fit it up on the center divider and jaywalk. But that's kind of the same thing. It's like that was automated habits from my old pre-mom life. What we're talking about is the habits you just can't shake from having babies and little kids, even when the babies and little kids are no longer hanging all over you.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
We had fun coming up with these ideas. I also wanted to let everybody know, if you listened last week, that was episode 170. At the end of the show, you heard me introduce Allison Thompson, who co-hosts the Crunchy Cocktail Hour podcast in our Life Listen network. But she's going to be coming on with me periodically because she's about to have baby number two. And we know that so many of the listeners out there are also pregnant with baby two or three or four. And so we're going to be following along with her. And so at the end of today's show, you just listen to the very end, and you'll catch about a 10-minute segment. Allison and I are chatting about her second pregnancy. So you don't have to do anything special. Just listen all the way to the end. It's a really fun conversation. And she's a total sweetie. And we've gotten lots of nice feedback on that first little segment. So we're excited about it.
Everybody should always listen to the end. I think we should start hiding Easter eggs in the end.
You know, right?
Like it's like a gaming, gaming term.
I mean, I love the idea of putting bloopers at the end.
Yes.
Our friends at the Girl Next Door podcast do that. It's just that little bit of extra editing.
Yeah.
But I feel like our bloopers would be highly
really goofy. Yeah.
Maybe a little more swearing than we do. In
yeah, that could definitely be a thing. Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about our first sponsor before we get into it. And that is Hydrolite. So Megan, my kids are back in school. I have a kindergartner. And when they come home, I can just like kind of see the germs. Like I can't actually see them, but I just
remember peanuts. Remember Pigpen?
Yes. With the radiating stink.
Yes.
So I am bracing myself for those inevitable fall cold and flu bugs. And I'm also kind of in home organizing mode right now, which means I love stocking my medicine cabinet so that when those inevitable viruses hit, I am stocked. And last time we got hit with a stomach bug, which was late last spring, I was frantically texting my neighbors for one of those frozen devices that help hydrate you. But this was before I found out about Hydrolite. So what Hydrolite is it's a clinical hydration product that contains the right balance of sodium, glucose, and water to replace your electrolytes and your fluids that you lose when you're sick or just super hot and sweaty. But what it doesn't have is all the extra sugar. So we all know the sports drinks. The kids love them. They're bright and colorful and cheerful. They're not necessarily the best thing to give to a super dehydrated little one. And they do contain a lot of extra sugar and stuff. So Hydrolite comes in really yummy flavors like orange, berry, and lemonade that the kids like. And it also comes in a powder or a tablet that you can drop in a glass of water and watch it fizz up. And you can dose appropriately for really little kids. So it's not just the pre-mixed drink, but there's other options as well. And they also travel really well. So that is what I'm stocking in my medicine cabinet, getting ready for the inevitable this fall. And we think you guys should too. So you can find Hydrolite in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon. And we have a code to save you 30% on their Amazon store. So you head to hydrolite.com/podcasts, and that link plus the promo code HydraKid will help you save 30%. It's going to take you to their Amazon store. When you check out at Amazon, you use that promo code HydraKid, HYDRAKID. And that will save you 30%. Again, hydrolite.com/podcast.
Yeah. And if you've got Prime like everybody else, you can do it and have some hydrating fluids on their way to your house like pronto.
Right.
Not having to think about it. I love when I can do that, like stock up on stuff.
Just add it to your cart. 30% is a big chunk of change.
That is
so
a big chunk
rather than change, running out to your drugstore with a sick kid. Dehydrated kids are no joke. They're so sad. It's like one of the saddest things.
The saddest thing. I know. I know. All right. Well, we should get into this. Okay, should I go first? I think we're just going to go back and forth, right?
I think we should. Let's set it up in case we weren't clear. What we're talking about is these funny things you find yourself doing for the most part long after you need to be doing them. And we're all over the map here. But yeah, you set up the first one because it's probably the classic. It's the one we're all
picturing. This is classic. And what I love the most about this one is you'll be like in a group of people and you'll look around and you can spot the moms because they're all doing this. And it's like when you're waiting in line, when you're waiting for something, when a bunch of moms are standing around, everyone is rocking and swaying.
Yes.
And like they're all swaying as though they're holding a baby, but there's no baby.
Now, do you think that this is triggered in us when we see or hear a baby, even if it's subconsciously? Because I've wondered that. Like, I don't feel like I do this just anytime. It must be if like there is a baby radar somewhere in the Target and I've seen one.
Nope. I do it all the time. And you know why I do it all the time? Because I had those kind of babies who were very unhappy to be still ever. So I got in the habit of never standing still. So if I was ever standing for more than like a minute, I would be rocking or swaying because I was always holding a baby for like 12 years or something. I always had a baby or a toddler in my arms. So I never stood. I always swayed and rocked. So for me, it's not seeing the baby that triggers it. It's just the act of standing.
Standing. Okay.
With. Yeah.
Yeah. I can get behind that. I did this just yesterday and I was at the pet store and I was holding a big bag of dog food, which really did simulate like it was a heavy one. So it was like holding like a larger baby or a toddler. And I was absolutely swaying back and forth, just swaying and rocking that bag of dog food to a state of calm.
That's awesome.
That is really
funny. I love it. I'm sure the dog food really appreciated it.
I know. I mean, it was super helpful. It's funny when you catch someone else doing this. I've had someone catch me at it before.
I feel like I catch moms doing it all the time. And then we'll all like lock eyes and have that moment of recognition. And the funny thing is it affects moms like for decades. Like you see older women doing it too. So it's not like it's just people who just got out of that phase. I've been out of that phase now for 6-7 years and I still do it.
Well, so. I was just before you said that, I was thinking it would be really fun to hear from somebody if you or maybe your mom or your aunt, if you have had an experience doing this or seeing someone do this when they are like decades out of new motherhood, I would love to hear from you. We'd love getting your emails at hello@themomhour.com. This is like, it is the one that unites all mothers.
Or if we have like grandmas listening who, or, you know, people who are far away from like their own little kids. But I'm so curious to hear if that's universal. But in my experience, yes, I've seen women of all ages doing that for sure. Yep.
So funny. Okay. So my first one is also baby related. And this is kind of nebulous, but long after I had nursing babies or any baby, not just nursing, any baby who needs you frequently, I would still have these flashes of a moment of like, oh, shoot, where's the baby? Like, who has the baby? And I think you've talked about this too, but I've also had dreams about it. We can talk about that. But this is in waking hours feeling like, oh, wait, where did I put the baby? Or does the baby need to eat? Or in particular, I do remember going back to work after I had my first baby. And that was, you know, after 3 months at home, it was the first time I had been away for longer than a couple of hours. And I was in a very different corporate environment. I knew she was well cared for, but it's like this, it's a little like neuron jolt. There's like, oh, wait, where's the baby? And I feel like that lasts for a long time, even after you don't have babies.
Yeah, I will say that unlike the rocking and swaying for me, this is one that has faded with time.
Okay. Yes, but I think it has for me too.
But I did notice even when Clara went to kindergarten, I would have, oh crap, where's Clara moments? Yes. And then I'd be like, oh, well, she's not here during the day. And, you know, so you just get used to whatever you're in. I have a really funny story about this. So I went through this phase when, especially when Jacob and Isaac were little, it's definitely faded with time, even when, you know, the younger kids were little, just because I got so far away from before having babies, you know? But I had this very intense, like, I had lived in this area for a little while, and then I moved away. So I only lived there for like 6 months when I was in college, or like right before I went to college. And then I moved away, and then I moved back when Jacob and Isaac were little and lived like in the same neighborhood. So it was this town I was only familiar with for two periods of my life. One was a very free time of my life where I was old enough to do whatever I wanted, but didn't have kids. And then I came back when I was older, but did have kids, And sometimes I would have memories of like going to a certain place, and then I would have this moment of absolute panic. Like I would be thinking of myself like at a party.
Right.
And then be like, where was the baby?
Yes.
And then I would think, I didn't have a baby then, dummy, you know? Like there was, right. I didn't go to like a kegger with a baby at home. Like I was, I was a kid. And, or like I worked at the JCPenney down the road and I'd be thinking about like, just remembering like what it was like when I worked at JCPenney when I was 18 years old. And then I'm like, I wonder who was taking care of the baby. And then again, I would have to go, you didn't have a baby, dummy. Like I would have these thoughts. I'd be like, I wonder where I parked the stroller when I went in that restaurant.
Yeah.
You didn't have a stroller. Like I, and it happened over and over and over. And that has actually stopped happening, but it was like intense for a while where my mind could not differentiate between pre and post baby.
That is
really weird.
That is so interesting. And it's kind of like, I think for a lot of moms in the first months or a couple of years, there's no separation mentally, emotionally. And just like for babies, like they don't see themselves as separate from mom either. It's like you're one entity. So then when you have memories like that, it's all confuzzled.
Did you have, and this is not really this topic, but did you ever have any moments where you were looking, and this happened to me a lot with Jacob, so this was definitely a firstborn thing, was where I felt it the most intensely, but like looking at your baby and then realizing you feel like you're looking at yourself, like you feel like you're looking at another arm or something. I remember having that feeling several times and being super weirded out.
I don't think so. I do know what you mean though. I do know what you mean. Yeah. I also, in my very foggy days after having baby number 2 and 3, I would look at the new baby and like kind of forget which one they were. I don't know if that ever happened to you. I remember, I mean, this is like in the first 48 hours and like kind of feel like, where am I? Like, which one are you? Like, are you, have I gone back in time? Very weird. Like probably drug induced, but.
Yeah, very possible.
Okay. So is it your turn again?
Yeah. Okay. So this is one that people make fun of me about all the time. this is with me. This is a classic. It's the fake seatbelt in the car.
Okay.
Anybody who's riding in the front seat, if I stop quickly, I throw my arm out in front of them. But I don't just do it in the car. I do it on the road. Like just last week, I did it to my friend Katie and she's like, Megan, I'm 32 years old. I was like, I know, but you might have run out in traffic.
So like she was about to step off the curb or you thought she was.
And I threw my arm in front of her. I do that. Like I do it all the time. I do it with everybody. And I know I didn't do it before I had kids. And I remember making fun of my mom for doing it. Like,
okay, but
it's just a mom thing.
We have to unpack this because your kids didn't ride in the front seat a lot when they were really little, right? So
no, never when they were really little.
So
I don't know.
The front seat thing is almost, I feel like it's more like our generation or even our parents' generation when like there were no seatbelts and kids were flying all over the car.
Yeah, I may have learned it from my mom. It's a very instinctive thing. And yes. I'm not going to stop someone from flying through this. I mean, if they didn't have a seatbelt on, my arm does absolutely nothing.
Yes.
I do think it's a little different when it's like trying to stop someone from stepping into traffic, but it's just like my arm just flies up. I don't know if it's just a protective thing, but I do it to everybody.
I'm picturing you too, because you had 5 kids, you know, from like at one point you had like 12 down to toddler.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing like that family in a parking lot or on a street, like you had to be super on it.
Yes.
To make sure.
And it was like I had eyes in every part of my head.
Yeah.
And so all of my limbs and everything was at all times. Like the radar was going at all times.
Yeah. It was so automatic for you. I think I'm the same. I think I do this too. I notice when I do it, and I will do it with all kids. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's my own kid, a baby, is, you know how they do that thing where they get down on the ground, they stand up and hit their head on something like the corner of a table, counter. And
do you shield it?
Yes. And so I'm like, I will put my hand out to a corner of something as a kid is going around or as they're standing up. And my third child in particular is injury prone. She's a spaz. And so I feel like my hands are just, they're like finely tuned human bumpers. Like I'm always just like putting a hand out, intercepting. And I'm pretty good at it, to be honest.
No, I'm great at that. And I will say I had another one that was like later in our outline, but I might as well bring it up now because it totally is related to this. It's just being on high alert and anticipating disasters at all times.
Yes.
So like if I'm sitting with a friend and she's got a baby in her lap and we're at dinner, I, without even looking at the baby, will move move a plate out of the way, move a glass out of the way, cover something. I think the baby's going to grab,
like
grab a napkin.
You have that spidey sense that the baby's going to spit up and you just anticipate. And you mentioned it as like avoiding disaster, but it comes without the anxiety of like a brand new mom. It's more like, oh my gosh, I have such a mental image and I don't think I can explain it, but like, you're just like hypnotically anticipating all of the things.
I am not tense around other people's kids or babies at all because the responsibility isn't mine. And I was around my own kids long enough to know that most of the time disaster does not happen, but you know, but I'm like an octopus.
Yes.
I feel like an octopus. Like my arms or my tentacles are just flying out, doing things. And I'm talking and carrying on a conversation as though I'm not doing any of these things, but it's happening. It's really weird.
Yes. No. And yeah. I wonder if that, I bet that never really wears off. I mean, maybe your acute like anticipation skills dull a little bit, but I feel like it probably never totally wears off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Okay. So my next one is, I feel a little obnoxious. Like I wish that this didn't happen to me, but it does.
Yeah.
So I was in the elevator the other day at the gym and the kids just went back to school last week. So I'm still kind of riding this high of all three kids in school every day. And there's a mom with two, I think just two little kids, but it's, I do it even more if there's three little kids because I see myself and it's just a nice normal mom at the gym in the elevator with like one in a stroller and one little preschooler. And I feel this need to be like, oh, I used to be like you, or like my kids are about that same age apart, yeah. or I had a girl and then a boy, or, and like, I usually don't say anything unless it comes up, but I feel self-conscious that I'm by myself. Like I need to be like, oh, yes. lady, let me tell you, I know your life. And I really
totally get it. Okay. I never say it. Very rarely. Every now and then, if it's like something, we have a moment.
Yeah,
and like the mom and I totally. Lock eyes, or if she's really stressed.
Yeah,
you know, or like I feel like she feels self conscious because she's got these kids
right.
all over her, and here I am single, sitting here, you know, in an elevator, and I'm wearing like nice clothes or
right.
something, and here's this mom who obviously like. The times I want to say something is like, say I'm in the city.
Yeah.
And like, there's me and I'm going to some kind of business related thing yes. or out to dinner. Like,
right. Where you are nice. Very different than.
And yeah. I've got this mom and she obviously just came out of the pool.
Yeah.
And she's like balancing two or three little kids and blah, blah, blah. And I just feel like I need to just be like, look, like you too will one day get to ride an elevator by yourself again.
Yes.
Like, I just feel like I need to like somehow commiserate yes. with her. Otherwise, I keep my mouth shut because I know how obnoxious that can be.
Oh,
like,
it's
people
totally
I try to identify with you, and you're like, I don't care.
And it's really not about them, it's about you. It's like almost
right.
wanting someone to know, like, that you've also made
you.
It through that.
Yeah.
And now you're on the other side. And like you said, I think sometimes it comes up naturally and can be a very sweet moment. But the urge to sort of compare, and in particular, when there's similarities, like if they have girl, boy, girl, and I had girl,
yep.
boy, girl, then it's like I'm just biting my tongue and like, smiling awkwardly.
Most of the time I just smile. And I trust that they probably will realize that, you know, because we're, you know, I'm a few years older than them.
Right.
I probably also have kids. Like,
right.
And honestly, they're not thinking about me anyway.
No, they don't. They don't have their, yeah. like, they didn't they're, sleep last night.
Right.
They
exactly.
don't care about you at all.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's just that moment. It makes me feel very old, to be honest.
It does. It makes you feel very old. And I'm sure that, like, so my kids are 10, 8, and 5. I'm sure there are people 10 years ahead of me who look at my kids and think, oh, that was me in the minivan
yeah.
10 years ago. So it's okay.
Well, yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think the urge is natural. I
yeah.
think that, like, I remember John and I used to laugh about this all the time when we'd be out walking with Clara in the stroller. We did a lot of stuff with just Clara when
uh-huh.
she was little because we like lived near the city and we were just there a lot. And people would always stop us and be like, they get bigger. Or they would say something
yes.
super condescending to us. And we're like, yeah, we have four at home. Like, we know.
Yeah.
And we thought it was funny, but really kind of annoying.
Yes.
And so I don't ever want to be that person.
Right. That's so true. Like,
yeah.
if I saw someone with two little kids, for all I know, she also has three big kids in school.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
she's like, leave me alone, lady.
Right.
Okay, that's funny. All right, it's your turn.
Okay, so this is one that I have noticed a lot in the last, like, 5 years, especially because I no longer have little ones that I'm trying to manage. My kids are pretty much managing themselves. So I find myself like at a party or an event and there's no mothering to be done for
mm-hmm,
me. And
mm-hmm.
so I clean.
Mm.
Like, I can't. I was just at my grandma's birthday party. I could not. There was this huge rainstorm. The whole backyard looked like just a wreck. And everyone moved inside to do cake and stuff. And I'm standing there watching like my grandma blow out her candles and I'm all uncomfortable because there's this mess outside and we just
right.
walked away from it. And I'm like, we should probably take care of that mess. Like, I could not relax
yeah.
because of the mess, and which is weird. So, like, I always find myself, you know, cleaning, throwing things away, bettering. And I was never like that before kids. Never, never, never. I didn't even notice messes. Like,
right.
they were not a thing to me. And now that's, like, all I can see sometimes.
Now, I'm curious if you were
annoying.
Like that when your kids were little. Because that's a hard time. Like,
not
or do
as
you
much.
Think it sort of rechanneled? Like, the energy that you spent
yeah.
keeping them put together.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I think that's
organized.
What I mean, like, by
yeah.
there was nobody to mother. Like,
yeah.
I think... Yeah, like I was aware of mess when they were little, but I was busy. My hands were
right.
full. I had enough to take care of right in front of me. Now it's like, okay, well, that's all done.
Yeah.
Now what do I do? How do I be industrious?
Right.
Like, you know, I'm like kind of like wiping my hands together right now. And like, you know, that that feeling of like, I have to do something because I'm a mom.
Yes. No, I totally relate to that. And in my family, you know, my sister had her first baby almost a year ago. And I, before that, was the one with the three little kids. And so like when, if it's a big family gathering, you get a little bit of a free pass with like dishes and, you know, everybody tries to contribute. But if you're the one looking after a bunch of little kids, then that's sort of your primary role. Gosh, and then,
sneezy.
Oh yeah, no worries.
Do you have a tissue for me?
Yeah, I'll just pass it across the, I'm going to wipe your nose.
Thanks, Mom.
but now I'm the one with growing kids and my sister's the one with the baby. And I totally relate. Like my kids will be off doing something and I'm like, oh, I'm the dish clearer now.
Yep.
And that's fine too. Everyone needs moms to clean up dishes.
They do.
Okay. I'll do one more and then we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back to this. So I don't think you probably ever did this, Megan, because you were not as structured about nap time as I was. But for many years, I had somebody who needed a nap, say between like noon and 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Even when babies took two naps, there would be the afternoon nap. And then when they go to one, and I was pretty structured about that, that's when I got my work done, blah, blah, blah. But it took a long time for me to shake the feeling that we couldn't go anywhere as a family, or I couldn't make plans or accept a birthday party invitation between like the hours of noon and three. And I mean like a long time. I remember one time being on a weekend getaway with Brian and like kind of planning out our day and just having this instinctive feeling like, okay, well, we're going to be, it's nap time between 12 and 3. So then we'll come back to the hotel. And then I'm like, oh, nobody needs a nap. And so I think I have shaken this. I don't think I think like this anymore. But it took years to realize that like there is a world of things that can happen that don't have to be at home and quiet between the hours of noon and 3 p.m. So I don't
I mean, probably like back when I had nappers, I think I was just naturally home anyway. Like when I had that
And I think
many
you
kids,
were just more flexible. Like,
yeah, I was more flexible. And if it turned out that they like napped while we were out or whatever, it was fine. But there were years where like I knew that my kids would nap between, you know, roughly one and three. And I think those just happened to be years I wasn't really, I had lots of kids. I was just at home. Yeah. I wasn't really out much anyway. But one thing I have found about myself now is like, I get that way about the hours between like 8 and 9 at night because that's when I would be settling the house. But now I don't have my kids home like 3 nights a week. So there's no reason why I can't be doing something between 8 and 9 o'clock. Yeah. I just don't think, I think of that as off limits.
Right.
Like, completely like out of the question. So I mean, similar.
It's really not funny. The same, but the same thing would be said of a bedtime for sure.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. And Megan, why don't you set up our next sponsor?
Yeah. Okay, guys, I want to talk about HelloFresh. So you guys know that HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service. So what they do is they shop and plan your meals for you and then deliver it to your house along with step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients. So all you have to do is just open up each individually packaged meal and then cook, eat, and enjoy. They have three plans you can choose from, classic, veggie, and family. And also, I love that each week there's a 20-minute meal. So on those nights you really don't have time, they've got at least one option that's going to take you like no time at all. I love not having to plan dinner sometimes. I love the idea that it's just there for me, ready to go, and I'm not going to have to, you know, feel tempted to run through the drive-through or, you know, go shopping at the last minute because I don't have anything in the house to make. So whenever it's a HelloFresh week for me, I'm very excited. And all the ingredients come pre-measured. So you don't really have to worry about following. I mean, they have a recipe, but the recipe is just there to guide you through the rest, the ingredients that are already measured out. So all you have to do is like open them and toss them in the bowl or toss them in the pot. And they also have some one pot recipes that are really good for speedy cooking and hardly any cleanup. One thing I really love about using HelloFresh is it encourages me to try meals that, you know, I tend to get in like a pattern, a habit.
Yep.
It could also be called a rut, right? Yeah. And where you're making the same thing over and over. And what I love, especially about the family meals, is none of these are like super out, like out in left field. It's all stuff your kids are going to like, but it's like a slightly more inventive twist on it. So for example, one of the meals that we just made that was a big hit was balsamic fig chicken. I mean, it was just a fresh take on something my kids would already eat, which was a really simple chicken breast and then a side salad and some sweet potato. Like that's all stuff my kids will eat. But the balsamic fig, like a compote that we put on the chicken
was
so good. And it was something I would not have thought to make it myself, but it also kind of inspired me the next time I bought chicken breast to be like, oh, what else could I do with these? It isn't the same, you know, shaky of spice mix that I have that I always use over and over. So I want you guys to try it out. It's really easy to use. It's fun to try. My kids get excited about it when we get HelloFresh. They kind of like have this little thing where they'll rate my meals after I make them. And they'll be like, Mom, is this your meal or HelloFresh? And it's kind of like no one knows for sure.
That's so funny.
Only me and my mailman know for sure.
Between so, me and the mailman.
Exactly. But we have a great deal for you guys. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes. And that's like receiving six meals for free, you guys. I want you to visit HelloFresh.com/MomHour60 and enter the code MomHour60 at checkout. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/MomHour60. Enter MomHour60 at checkout and you're going to get six meals free. $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. That's an awesome deal. So do it.
Let's do it, guys. So yummy. Okay, so I'm really excited that we're welcoming back Boudreaux Butt Paste and their newly launched Rash Kicking Kit. So we know diaper rash is miserable for both mom and baby. There's nothing sadder than changing the diaper of a baby whose bum hurts. It's like the saddest thing ever. And having the right creams on hand, I think, is really important, especially to preventing rashes from getting worse. They can get out of hand. A mild rash can get worse really fast. I remember those days of not having what I needed on hand. So what I love about the Rash Kicking Kit is it comes with the butt brush. Yes, that is what it is called, which is basically like a tiny spatula for your baby's bottom. But what
such a good idea. Why didn't someone come up with this before?
Such a good idea, right?
I know.
So you can get the cream quickly and thoroughly in all the right places without it getting under your fingernails or doing that thing. I was always trying to wipe it somewhere, like on the diaper, but then it's like more on your hand than on the baby. So this is genius. It's soft, it's BPA-free, and you literally can just keep it right there at the changing table for your diaper changes. So the Rash Kicking Kit also includes both the regular and the maximum strength formulas of butt paste. And they're both free of dyes, parabens, preservatives, which is awesome. That maximum strength formula is clinically shown to provide relief in as little as 3 hours and offers protection that lasts all night long, because we know that's when things get worse, is those wet all-night diapers. So you guys, this was not available when we were changing diapers, but no. we wish that it had been. It makes a great baby shower gift. It's around $15 on Amazon, and the packaging is super cute and bright and cheerful. I'm just going to pop that as a gift topper on new baby gifts. It's a no-brainer. So again, check it out on Amazon. It's Boudreaux Butt Paste, and thanks to them for partnering with us on this episode.
All right, should we get back into it?
Let's do.
Considering I sneezed during the last little segment, this feels very apropos.
Very apropos.
I have a thing about kids' boogers.
Yeah.
I need to wipe them.
Yes.
Mostly, I mean, I don't care. I'm not grossed out necessarily, but it looks so uncomfortable to me. And I just remember that feeling of like obsessively wanting my kids' noses to be clean when they were little.
Yeah.
And also feeling like as a mom, if your hands are full, like the last thing you want to do is get up from your comfy seat when you're chatting with your friends and like wipe your own kid's nose. So I feel like it's like I'm doing a public service.
A community service.
Yes.
So is this just an urge or would you act on this in public? Give me a situation where you would
only
actually...
with a friend's kid. I wouldn't. I might hand a kid a tissue.
Yeah.
If it was like somebody... I would only wipe a kid's nose if it was like a close family friend. But like if it was someone who was kind of like a friendish kind of person, they sort of knew the mom and they're running around with like boogers running down their face, I probably would hand them a tissue. And I don't know. Another thing that I think has become like a mom habit is like taking care of other moms, because I remember that being so important to me when like someone would help me out in some way.
And you were first, like you had kids before a lot of people you knew. So you sort of then became like the mother hen.
Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, so it's a hard line to walk sometimes between doing something that's really helpful and being overbearing. And I never want to cross that line.
Right.
So I try to be jokey about it and like not make anyone feel bad, like that their kids have boogers in their nose. It's more like I find it really satisfying to clean up a kid's face.
Yes. I still take satisfaction in being someone who has tissues and like wet wipes in, not diaper wipes, but like the wet ones, you know, antibacterial wipes in my purse almost all the time. And my kids are getting older, but I feel like if I can be the one who has that for somebody who just ran out or didn't remember to put them in the diaper bag, it's sort of like a role that you graduate into.
Don't you always feel like a champion if you have anything in your purse that can help another mom, like a Band-Aid?
Yes.
Or like something their kid will play with.
Yes.
Like just, I always feel like a rock star if I can help in that way.
I totally agree. And, you know, in those days when I had all the babies and little kids, the things I was remembering to pack were like the super essentials, like let's not die or like have a total, you know, meltdown. And so now I feel like having the little more luxurious, like you said, something to play with or a Band-Aid, like that feels above and beyond. That feels extra.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about wiping kids' faces and your own kids. Do you still like find the urge to like kind of mother your own kids' faces, even though they're like men? Like,
yes. And I ruffle their hair a lot.
Yeah.
Which drives them nuts. But I think they like it.
My kids do not. Well, that's not true. Some of my kids do not like to have their face wiped by me. Like they are decidedly too old for that. But they don't always wipe their own face. So I'm like, either go in there and clean your face or you're going to get me like in your business.
Yeah. I definitely have stopped doing the thing with my spit. Because Owen one time was like, you just put spit on my face.
And he turns out, like, eight, turns out,
turns out, who knew, right? So I don't do that anymore, but I will do this whole thing. And this also drives Owen's very sensitive about his hair. He's very particular about the way his hair looks. He likes it to look kind of tousled. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll come up and kind of like tousle it more. He's like, Mom, that's not how I wanted it. Not the right kind of tousle. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of stuff that it's like such classic mom stuff. I just can't help myself.
You can't help yourself. Can't.
And I walk in and I think I actually texted you last week that I walked into my house and Owen was like laying on the couch. It was early in the morning. He was just petting the cat. And I just looked at him and he's like 12, almost, he'll be 13. Yep. It's December and tall and gawky, but he still has this sweet babiness left on his face. And like, I almost started crying. I don't even know what it was. It was just, and my heart was just broken into a million pieces. And I came and sat by him and hugged him like six times. It was like,
I know.
You're just so sweet. You're just so cute. And he's sitting there like just tolerating me. Like in that moment, I think he kind of loved it, but like also kind of hated it and didn't know how to feel. Yeah. So,
That's really funny. No, I definitely have the wipe, the nose wiping, the baby. If we go back to baby years, like the spit up, like just wiping things all the time.
Well, all the things need to be wiped.
Okay, so my next one is a little weird, but maybe moms who have just sent their kids off to more full-time school for the first time can relate to this. So when my oldest, I mean, she went to preschool and stuff, but when I remember this is more like first, second grade, when she really like would be home in the summer and then all of a sudden was gone for a full day. And I still had a couple of other little kids at home, but I would see something out and about that, you know, reminded me of her that I wanted to tell her about. And she's like 6 or 7 or 8 years old at this point and almost reach for my phone. Like I've got to text Allegra a picture of that cute kitty we thought. And then I thought she doesn't have a cell phone. I can't telepathically because now with our friends, and I think this is interesting because maybe it's when she was getting mature enough that there really was something I would have wanted to tell her during the day or I saw something that reminded me of her. And with our friends, what we would do is reach for the phone and text them a picture.
Yes.
Or you and I would Vox each other. But then she was still little enough that there was no way to do that. There's no telepathic connection. I can't actually in real time say, hey, look at this thing I just saw. And I think it just represented like that weird transition when they're still little and really connected. And I still spent so much time with her that we were very closely connected, but they're getting old enough that they're spending hours away from you each day. And I just remember, and still sometimes, you know, they're all in school full time now. And I will think of something and I'm like, well, there's no way to do that. Now, I would love you to weigh in on this because now you can text your kids.
Yeah, but no.
But you don't.
I do. But I mean, like, I think maybe because I think that's an association I just never had. Like, I never really had the experience of being with Clara, like texting other people when she was that little.
Okay.
I can text all my kids all have phones now. And so I could text them all when they're like at their dad's and I do constantly. But like I don't, and Clara and I in particular Vox each other and text a bunch, but I don't, when they're at school, I would only text if there was something they needed to know before the end of the day.
Right.
They keep their phones in their lockers. But for me, you know, we've talked about this. You're just more mobile than I am. And you've always been more mobile than I am, more mobile oriented. So I'm
not
sure,
like I have more mobility, more mobile phone.
I'm basically just sitting in bed. I'm sedentary. I don't do anything. But I just think that like, I think that is a more natural association for you. I'm guessing I probably had the same urges, but they just came through differently.
Yes, totally. Yeah, you're right. And just the age difference in our oldest in particular is, but I thought that was kind of a funny one.
That is kind of a funny one. I'm curious how many other people have had that feeling. Here's one that I kind of just came up with while we were talking and actually replaced the other one with it. And this is something I've kind of had this interesting experience because I've done a lot of theater and as a mom. And I've done a lot of theater that where the casts were very young. Like I've done a lot of shows with teenagers and young adults. And you know, there's like, they all call me mom and like, it's kind of fun. And like, because I've played a lot of their mothers, but I'm also just kind of like the mom of the cast often. Yeah. And I like that. I think that's very sweet. Well, what's interesting nowadays is like watching these young people that aren't my kids, which gives you a totally different perspective. Like sometimes I wish I could see my teenagers through someone else's eyes. I think that would just be really interesting. But seeing them as kind of friends, but like there's that line you kind of have to walk because they're not my friends. You know, it's like there's that appropriateness line and everything else. But like, I just have such a tender heart for these teenagers and young adults. And then you watch all their stuff play out on Facebook. Like you see their trauma. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just see it happening. Like, you see their optimism and you see, like, when they're going through things and, like, you can see their personalities coming out. And so I have this, like, almost compulsion that if anyone who I sort of have mothered in that capacity before, if they post anything on social media that makes them sound, like, sad or, like, they're in a heart, like, I compulsively have to reach out privately. Yeah. Like, and I'll just send them, like, a nice message. I try not to be overbearing, or sometimes I'll just leave a nice comment or something, but, like, I almost can't help myself because it's just like, I'm not their mom, but, like, I feel like this need to, like, kind of mother them in a way. Yes. And that could be really weird, but.
Do you remember, this is a tangent. No, I'm so glad you brought this one up. Do you remember when we did our episode? I think it's called the other adults in our kids' lives.
Oh yeah.
I'll link it up in the show notes. It's a really, really interesting episode, but we talked about our own memories of adults who were not our parents, especially in, like, the preteen and teen years, taking an interest in us or just having that little relationship in some way, which was powerful. And then we talked about, you know, those people for our kids, but I'm sure are that person for a lot of those teenagers. And I think it sounds totally appropriate the way that you reach out.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And not inappropriate, but maybe just, like, you know, overbearing or something. But I don't think anyone thinks it is because, like, and again, at that age, you need so much validation. And I think kids today need even more. Like, I just feel like they're out there just, like, putting themselves out there, like, for a reason.
Yeah. And you had the real life connection. I mean, you may see it on social media and connect with them that way, but you had theater castmates is a very deep connection.
It is. It really is.
Even in a short time, you have that history with them. Yeah. I love that one. Yeah. Okay, I'll do one more, and then we have a bit of housekeeping and Allison's fun segment. But so the one I'm going to do is my wardrobe was very utilitarian, baby, nursing, toddler for many years. And so if you remember, Megan, you cannot wear dangly earrings because a baby will reach up and grab them.
Yes, or like a hoop. I used to have nightmares about a baby sticking its fist through a hoop.
Yes, I
have a finger.
It's like one of my worst EBGBs is like an earring getting pulled. So you can't wear those. No, you can't wear necklaces for a while. The baby will just eat them or pull on them. And plus, you have your whole, if you have a baby on your hip, there's so much happening in your collarbone, neck, boob area.
Hair.
Right. Your hair is up all the time.
Yeah.
And then even with clothing, nursing friendly. Now, I know that nursing friendly clothing has come a long way and you can wear whatever you want and nurse, ladies. So don't feel limited. However, I do think I just went to practical tank tops and t-shirts. I didn't wear a lot of dresses because they would need to lift
all the way up or pull down.
Right. And again, I know these things exist and I'm sure you guys have great recommendations, but I just didn't. I was like jeans and a t-shirt, shorts and a tank top, whatever. But what was funny is how long that took me to kind of snap out of. Like, I forgot dresses in particular because I like to wear dresses in the summer. And it wasn't just the nursing thing. It was also that I prefer kind of a short dress. I think it looks better on me and it's definitely cooler. But you can't wear a short dress if you're bending over little kids. No. So it's not even nursing. It's up through 2, 3, 4-year-olds. If you're getting down on the floor or bending over, getting kids out of the car, it's just not a good look, ladies. So I feel like that was one where it was a habit. It was an ingrained shopping and style habit that maybe is just finally, like, I don't think like that anymore. But if you think of it, like, everything, jewelry, hairstyles, tops, bras, dress length, it's all shoes even. Like, it's just there's like certain things that aren't practical if you're in the trenches, and then like a whole new world opens up.
You know, it's funny. I remember distinctly, and I don't know how often this was a thing, but I remember clearly on several occasions picking my outfit for a thing I was going to go to where it was going to be just me and a toddler and thinking, how will I go to the bathroom? Like, okay, so I'm going to have a toddler in one arm and you can pee with a toddler in your lap.
Yep.
But it's very hard to do that and pull down like and unbutton jeans and pull them down. You almost have to have like an elastic waist and like, right. Well, you have to almost have like an elastic waist you can easily yank down with one hand, or you have to have some place to put the baby so that I remember some public restroom I was in, and I haven't seen this in too many places, but there was literally a thing on the wall called I'll Hold the Baby. And it was called that.
I think you told me.
And it
me
was
about
like
that.
A seat that you stick your baby in and like buckle them in, and then you pee with your hands free, which I thought was super genius, but I've only seen them like a handful of times, and who knows how safe they really are. I mean, I used them anyway because I was desperate. But I remember that even affecting, like, how am I going to go to the bathroom would affect my entire wardrobe choice for the day.
Yes.
So So I get it.
Turns out that habit, those habits can die hard, and you don't have to stick to those same wardrobe choices after you don't need to. Okay, so this is really fun. I'm sure you guys listening have some more for us that we have not even thought of, because we had fun coming up with this list. And so I would love to hear from you. A couple things. I have a couple housekeeping things. We mentioned this on Sunday in our More Than Mom episode, but we are on Spotify now. And specifically, if you are listening to this show on Spotify right now, either because you found us there or someone recommended us there, or maybe you are, were already listening to us elsewhere, but Spotify is your preferred place, I would just love to hear from you. Just shoot us an email, hello@themomhour.com. I'm just curious, because I like to know about these things. And in particular, if you've discovered our show on Spotify, would love to hear from you. And same thing, if you're a brand new listener, we always love getting emails from you. It's hello@themomhour.com. I'm also working on a page for our website, which is themomhour.com, just for new listeners, where we list kind of episode recommendations, you know, if you're pregnant, if you are a mom of older kids, if you're a working mom, where we kind of give some starting place recommendations. And that is also what we do with our Cue It Up segment, which I'm going to do in just a second. But head to themomhour.com and just look for, you know, I'm new around here, and then click over, because that's been on my list for a while. See how much I'm getting done, Megan?
You are getting so much done.
Now that my kids are in school.
And please satisfy Sarah's curiosity about Spotify, because I know it keeps you up at night, doesn't it?
It does not, but I like to. And I like to hear from you guys. So I'm curious, podcast Spotify listeners. Okay, so Allison's going to join me in just a minute. We're going to talk about pregnancy, which is super fun. And before that, I'm going to cue up. I have two cue it ups this week, Megan. One for new moms and one for moms of older kids. So this is where we just give you a recommendation of a show from our archives to head back and listen to if you missed it. So for the newer moms, I picked Things We Shouldn't Have Freaked Out About, Breastfeeding Edition. This was really fun. It was from a year ago. It's from August of 2017. Katie came on with us, so it's the three of us. And it falls under that theme of things that we really took way too seriously. And in retrospect, we're like, not a big deal. So it's kind of a fun one. And then if you have older kids, I wanted to recommend an interview I did in May of 2017, and it's called Becoming Screenwise. The author is of the book called Screenwise is Devorah Heitner. And if you have kids getting into having their own phones, getting online, it's a very not intimidating. It's a not a doom and gloom conversation. It's actually, she's actually very tech positive. And is not about banning everything forever, and much more about how to kind of mentor your kids with digital stuff, and not like, it's not just about screening and protecting and, you know, what am I trying to say? Spying on their every text, but more about mentoring them. And that's a really good one. So that's called Becoming Screenwise with Devorah Heitner. And that is from May of 2017. So those are my recommendations.
All right. This has been really fun.
It was really fun. Okay. Allison's with me next, and Megan, we will be back with everybody next Tuesday. Hey guys, it's Sarah, and I am here with Allison Thompson. Hey, Allison.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm great. So last week, hopefully listeners, you caught the end of last week's episode. We introduced Allison, and she's going to be coming on once a month or so for the next few months, we hope, to talk about transitioning to a life with two. And she, at this very moment, is still pregnant. So today we're going to be talking about pregnancy. But if you missed last week, definitely head back and listen just to the very end, the last 5 minutes or so of the episode, and you'll get to know Allison and who she is and where she lives and all that. And Allison, I'm excited to talk pregnancy today. We have a lot of pregnant listeners.
Oh, good. Because it's something when you're pregnant, all you want to do is talk about being pregnant and what's to come.
And I think so with your second pregnancy, you have so many more, you can compare notes against your first pregnancy, but I found I just knew a lot more pregnant people. My first pregnancy, I knew a couple, but by my second, I was immersed in mom world. So it felt like it was everyone around me was pregnant. It was like being in a club. So it is fun to talk about.
It definitely is.
So why don't we start with your first pregnancy? Claire is not quite two. So this is a couple of years ago. And I would just love to hear a little bit about that first pregnancy, how it went for you.
Yeah. So she'll be two in November, which is just crazy to think. But with that pregnancy, the biggest difference for me between being pregnant this time versus being pregnant with Claire is that I was so focused on being pregnant. And you probably, by your third, you probably had no time to even be pregnant. But, you know, the first pregnancy we were living in the city. We had moved out of the city and sold a house. I was so focused on what I was eating and exercising, and I just felt amazing from start to finish. And I actually only made it to 37 weeks. So I even really didn't get to that truly uncomfortable phase. Mm-hmm. It was just a great pregnancy. And early days with this one, I felt similarly, which is why I was pretty certain that I was having another girl. But it was just the first one, it just sort of, I was so focused on it. I was able to just plan and prepare and feel comfortable in my body. And this time has been very different.
Yeah, because you have a child and, you know, a full-time job and a podcast. And maybe because you've done it before too, possibly, that it's a little, it's less new the first time everything happens. I also remember for myself, my first pregnancy, I thought very little about the baby or anything past the first, like, delivering the baby and maybe, you know, looked into breastfeeding mm-hmm. a little bit. But
because you have no idea what to expect.
I have no idea what to expect. But by the time you have a two-year-old, that was actually a fun part of pregnancy for me, is I was excited about the pregnancy and aware of it and all of that. But mm-hmm. I was able to project more of, like, where will we be this time next year? Well, this time next year, you'll have, you know, an older baby or, you know, so it's like you're able to kind of think past that, just the birth. So that was different for me. I'm curious about how healthcare has gone this pregnancy. Now, you co-host a podcast that's very much about natural living and mm-hmm. All of that. Where would you rate yourself on the crunchy scale for pregnancy? And did that also change from first to second?
Interesting. That's a good question. I would say what's different this time is sort of mostly the products I'm using. I'd say from a health and wellness perspective, like I said, it's just sort of been less of a focus. And mostly it's just that lack of time. Mm-hmm. So much of my time and energy is going into just chasing after Claire when mm-hmm. she's home or working. And so I haven't had that time to, you know, those books, What to Eat When You're Expecting mm-hmm. and, you know, getting to the gym. I'm just not able to really do that this time around. So I'd say from that perspective, unfortunately, I'm doing worse this go around. But in terms of being more aware of sort of what I'm eating, mm-hmm. I would say I'm doing a bit better, just mostly because Larissa will make sure that I do.
That you're at least
she'll
aware.
Help me police. Like,
and what's your, do you go to a traditional OB practice? Do you have a midwife? What's been your healthcare provider situation this time?
I do go to a traditional doctor. So I am relatively traditional when it comes to my my pregnancy experiences. I am going to deliver in a hospital, and mm-hmm. I did with Claire as well. And I'm actually going to be going to the same hospital, even though it's now an hour away from me, just because I did have such a good experience. Mm-hmm. The nurses make it, mm-hmm. and the nurses where I go are absolutely fantastic. And I think that knowing what I'm getting myself into is just helping to ease some of the anxiety about mm-hmm. delivery. But yeah, I go to a traditional OB. I would say my OB is more just sort of liberal and relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, you know, I think when you first go, you can get a sort of litany of things to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. And my doctor's not that way.
Nice.
He's not overly eager to do testing and just a little bit more, you know, follow how you're feeling and we'll go from there, which is what I do like.
Now, so the hospital is the same, but since you moved out to the suburbs, is the OB the same or is this a new one this time for you?
It is the same OB.
Okay. So do you
although
drive
I go,
far?
Okay. I don't have to, luckily, because, you know, you have to go every 2 weeks here at the end. So luckily for me, they had multiple offices and they go between the different offices.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. The one thing that is different is that I don't, it could be any number of the doctors from that practice that could deliver.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you experienced that, but I actually didn't know the person that delivered my daughter because it was at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So yeah, I mean, most of the practices that were around in Scottsdale when I had my three babies were like that. I was unique because I had three scheduled C-sections. So I was an appointment on somebody's.
You could plan it.
Somebody's OR. But yeah, I know that that's pretty typical. So let's talk a little bit about some fun stuff. And that is like, okay, I'm not going to ask you about weight gain specifically, but let's talk about how you're carrying and like how you talked about you haven't exercised as much. Do you feel at, what are you, 34
weeks? 34.
Okay. Yeah. At 34 weeks, do you feel like you look and your shape is about the same or not?
Thank you for not asking about weight gain. So I would say I'm carrying pretty much exactly the same. I get one of those big round bellies and I get it pretty quickly. And I carry relatively high and I did for both babies, but just I get very, my belly just gets large and people can tell I'm pregnant really, really quickly.
Well, and now you're legitimately, I mean, now like no one's going to have a question. So what's the maternity clothing situation been? Because I know, so your girls are going to be less than 2 years apart. My first two kids were just over 2 years apart, but I was able to make most things work because seasonally it was mostly the same. So is that kind of the same for you? You really won't need any fall. I mean, it'll still be warm when the baby
comes. I'm lucky I don't have to go through the winter coat fiasco that so many women do. I'm so glad. No, so I've been able to make most things work. And then I've just sort of picked pieces here and there that I can add to it. And then I actually do a rental service for clothes, the Tote. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they have a maternity line.
Okay.
And so I can get my staples. I've got jeans and work pants and tanks and things like that. And then just add on things like blazers or if I want to do a dress or something.
That is so great. And it's rental. So you return it, like rent the runway? Style?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so you just get a box with a couple of different items in there. And that's kind of carried me through not having to buy any kind of special pieces.
That's amazing, especially working full time and going to see clients. And, you know, we can't just do leggings and tank tops for nine months.
How much I wish I could.
I was working.
I'm definitely wishing.
My first pregnancy, I was working full time. My second pregnancy, I was working part time, but the part time was in a corporate, you know, in an office. So only my third pregnancy was I fully at home and didn't have to do any of that.
And those leggings must have been just so comfortable day after day.
Okay. So we're in the final trimester. You have a few weeks left. Are we aches and pains? Is it like kind of starting to, are you slowing down? How is sleep going for yourself? Not toddler sleep.
Yeah. Well, actually toddler sleep's going well. If it wasn't, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely slowing down. I'm probably going to be going, you know, I tend to go visit my client once a week, maybe every other week, and I'll probably be slowing down on that here shortly. But we are crazy enough that we planned a trip to the Outer Banks in my 35th week.
Oh wow.
So I'm still going to be traveling. My doctor will be checking me before we go, making sure that everything's okay. But we've got an 6 hour trip down.
And just driving, right? Not flying.
Just driving, no. So we'll just be driving. And then down there for a week and then coming back when I'm 36 weeks, which is when they tell you to kind of ease up on the travel.
Well, there's some good things about that. It'll make time go a little faster. Because I feel like time mentally, it just slows down. I mean, your perception of time just slows down. So that'll kind of give you something to look forward to and break up the monotony. And then you'll come back and really be ready.
And then essentially we'll be in baby month. So I'll be really slowing.
Okay. Well, this was really fun. I definitely want to link up that maternity rental service in the show notes. So guys, that will be at themomhour.com. And then Allison, if you think of any other, I know we're being a little quick here, but if you think of any other maternity or pregnancy things you've discovered, products, et cetera, we'll just link those up in the show notes because I'm far enough removed from everything now that I don't know. And it would be fun. So if you think of anything, we'll link those up in the show notes at themomhour.com. And then we will have you back in a few weeks, guys. So stay with us. And I will let everybody know when they can expect to hear from you again. And next time we're going to talk about birth, your plans for this birth and what your first birth experience was like and how you're approaching that the second time around. So that'll be fun.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Sarah.
Thanks.